Last week we began the series Managing His Money, talking about money matters and how each one of us has a money matter. For each one of us, money matters. And we saw that in the midst of that we all have a financial concern. We also saw that when it comes to these money matters, that we have a heavenly parent, God Almighty, who has promised to meet all of our needs. That we have a heavenly parent who desires that each and every one of us, as his children, would know financial freedom. We also talked about how God sent Jesus Christ, not just so that we would believe, he did do that, but also so that we could be free from anything in this world that would oppress us. Anything that would bind us, whatever issue it was, God sent Jesus Christ to free us from that. And that includes money matters, financial freedom. Today I want to talk to you, church, about another aspect of how we realize the financial freedom that our Heavenly Father wants us to know. It's called the law of creation. And when it comes to managing his money, when it comes to putting ourselves in a position to know financial freedom, the law of creation says this. It says that we have to produce more than we consume. That we have to create more than we take in. That's the law of creation. When that happens, when we produce more than we take in, when we create more than we consume, then we put ourselves in a position so that God can bless us, so that God can free us financially. So let's talk about how this law of creation goes when it comes to our money. And let me show you how it works from the Bible, from 2 Kings that we read this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we have the story of a single mom, a widow with children, who was down on her luck. A woman who was struggling financially. The Bible tells us that her husband had died and had left her with some debt. Well, it came time for the debt to be collected. And the man that she owed the debt to came to the house and said, "Well, if you can't pay me what you owe me, then I'll take your two sons as slaves." Well, this single mom goes to Elisha, the prophet, and says to him, "Look, Mr. Man of God, my husband died while he still owed money to these people, and now they're here, and they're going to take my kids from me in order to pay the debt. Whatever shall I do?" And so Elisha asks her, "Well, what do you have in your house?" And she says, "Well, all I have, Elisha, is just a little bit of olive oil." Now, understand this about olive oil in that day. It had a wide variety of uses. It was used for anointing people, the living and the dead, for sacred offerings. It was used for lighting lamps. It was used for cooking. It was used as a type of medicine. It was used for personal grooming. They used it in certain types of soap. And depending upon the circumstances, this olive oil was produced by various methods. Sometimes you could produce it by beating the olives or by trotting over them in a press powered by humans or oxen. So there you go, more than you ever want to know about olive oil. Elisha the prophet tells her, though, this. He says, "Go to all your neighbors and ask them for some empty jars. Ask them for some empty vessels. Because God is going to provide an abundance out of your little bit of olive oil." Well, what we see here is that before this woman can practice the law of creation, she first has to practice what we've been calling the law of faith. That's what we talked about last week. You know, she must have thought to herself, "What does this crazy old prophet mean? What in the world is he talking about? Go to my neighbors and collect all these jars because God's going to bless me with an abundance. The neighbors are going to think I'm crazy. But despite her misgivings, she goes to her neighbors. And she does as this man of God, as Elisha tells her to do. She obeys God's spokesman. Before you can experience financial freedom that comes through the law of creation, you first have to practice the law of faith. That is, you have to put your trust in God who provides all needs first. You see, these two laws, they build on each other. First, you have to have the law of faith where you're trusting God for all you need. And then, secondly, you can take into account the law of creation. We always have to remember that we have that heavenly parent that wants to prosper us. For prior to this act of faith that the woman carries out by going to our neighbors and looking like a crazy woman, the woman was operating not from a level of faith, but she was operating in a place of fear. Operating in fear when it comes to managing his money is exactly the opposite of operating from the law of faith. Because when you panic, when you're fearful and it leads to panic, what you do is go back to your credit cards. The woman was in panic mode before she went talking to Elisha. She was ready to give up her sons in order to eat. She panics. You and I sometimes get to the point of panic when it comes to our money matters. You know, you have like a $30,000 to $60,000 debt, and you begin to worry. How in the world am I going to pay this debt? Fear begins to overtake us. And when that fear leads to panic, it might cause us to do some things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. You might find yourself, when you have such a debt and fear is turned into panic, playing the lottery a whole lot more, you know, on a regular basis, in the false hope that you'll be one of those 1 in trillion people that actually hits the lottery. You know, you might not normally ever play the lottery, but now that you have this fear and this panic, you start playing the lottery. You know, it's kind of funny about the lottery. One of the things about the lottery is that the people who can least afford to play it are the ones who play it the most. But besides the lottery, which is a small thing, there's probably worse things that you could put your faith in than the lottery. That fear that results in panic might lead us to do something dumb, like skim a little off the top to pay the debt because the boss will never miss it. Or might lead us to go ahead and write that check, even though we know that the money isn't in the account. Let me say that we must be careful when we get to that point in our financial lives. We must be careful when we step outside the bounds of God's integrity, because when we do that, God will never prosper us. Now hear me, God will always forgive us if we go back to God and say sorry, but God will not bless us if we're outside the bounds of God's integrity. Fear when it comes to managing his money leads to paralysis and defeat. We always have to keep that law of faith in mind, that we have a heavenly parent that will meet all our needs, that has the provisions to meet all our needs, and can take all the powers of heaven to meet our needs. In Jesus, every promise of God is a yes. We have all we need for financial freedom. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. You have all you need right now for financial freedom. Look at the widow. Look at the single mom. She certainly didn't have much. She had a little bit of oil, but she had all she needed for financial freedom when she put that resource to use. We all have a need, church, for God to do a miracle sometimes. that will lead to financial freedom. So if we want to experience such a miracle, if we want to experience that financial freedom, not only do we have to practice that law of faith, but now we have to practice that law of creation. Producing more than we consume. Producing more than we consume. But how do we do that? How do we produce more than we consume? Well, the first thing we have to do is work. To faithfully work. In order to produce more than you consume, you have to work. In order to be prosperous, you have to work. You cannot go around and live life on welfare. We will never prosper and know the blessing of God's great provision if we are perpetually on welfare. And I'm not just talking this morning about the government program. I'm also talking about family welfare too. You might know what I'm talking about, living off your parents, living off your grandparents. Welfare, in whatever form, and I speak now as one who was part of a family with a single mom who had three kids that was on welfare. Welfare is a temporary thing, a safety net. But if one clings to the safety net too long, it will erode self-esteem. You will never learn dependence on God if you are always dependent on the government. You'll never learn dependence on God if you're always dependent on mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, you see. Look here in this passage. Elisha knew that in order for this woman to experience the bounty that God wanted to bless her with, that she first had to work in order to produce more than she was consuming, right? Elisha knew that this woman had to start producing more than she was consuming, so he sent her out to get all these jars. That was her first job, to go to the neighbors and get all the jars so that she could begin producing more than she was consuming. You know, we're the only animals on earth that are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. That doesn't mean that God looks like me. Or that God looks like you. Amen? But what it means is that God has created us in His image. And because we are created in God's image, we have the capacity to create just as God created. We have that power. We are wired to create more than we consume. God has made us that way. We come from the factory that way, with those components pre-installed to create more than we consume. And as long as we live out of that way that we are wired, creating more than we consume, then we will thrive. It's when we stop creating more than we are consuming and we consume more that we'll shrivel. We'll shrivel up on the vine and die. That idea that we're wired to create more than we consume can be seen in our young people. We human beings have a natural tendency to be entrepreneurs, don't we? I mean, from the little kid that instinctively starts the lemonade stand, or the child that comes knocking on your door after a snowstorm and asks if he can shovel your driveway for $10. Used to be $5 when I was a kid. Inflation goes up. Or whether it's some young teenager cutting lawns in the heat of the July and August summer, we all have this tendency, you see, to create more than we produce, all at a fairly young age. That happens. Kids start lemonade stands, cut lawns, and shovel driveways because we as human beings have been wired that way. To be creating, to be working. Hear me when I say that God is going to supply all we need and bless and prosper us through meaningful work that provides for others. This is exactly what that single mom did. She went into the oil business. She worked and provided for other people's needs. Remember all those things that olive oil was used for? Well, she started producing it. She went in there and did what Elisha told her, and God gave her an abundance, not just a trickle, But as many jars as she had, God continued to fill each and every jar. The book of Proverbs tells us, a hardworking farmer has plenty to eat, but people who waste their time will always be poor. You know, when it comes to the law of creation, then, it's true that we have to be producing more than we consume in order to realize the full benefit of how God wants to bless us. But you not only have to do that, you not only have to faithfully work, you must faithfully invest what God has given you when it comes to managing his money. Again, go back to the story and look at the single mom. She invested the oil that she had. She just had that little bit of oil, but she invested it in a plan that God had. She poured the oil, just a little bit at first, and it kept flowing and flowing and flowing until there were no more jars left. She turned around and asked her child, "Another jar, please." He says, "We're all out, Mom." Imagine if they had more jars. And enough is produced that she's able to pay her debt. She's able to pay her debt. How was that, Matt? Pretty good? She was able to pay her debt and then supply other people's needs. She invested what she had. The law of creation, when it comes to managing his money, says to multiply what God has already blessed you with. Put your assets to work. The woman's assets were that little bit of oil, but our assets are all that we have. And I'm not just talking about your house and your stocks and bonds and the money that you make, but all your energy, all your personality, all the gifts that God has given you are your assets that can be invested for a purpose that is far greater than any of us can know, for God's purpose. Put your assets to work. When we take what God has given us and we invest it to create more, then we are on the road to producing more than we consume for the benefit of others. We are practicing the law of creation when it comes to managing his money. Let me suggest to you that when you faithfully invest what God has already given you in the first place, when you invest in eternal purposes, when you invest in Christ's mission in the world and honor the Lord with what you got, then God will continue to bless you. All throughout the Bible, we see that when we give, whatever kind of giving that, whatever form that giving takes, when we give, it's an act of worship. You know, that's why we take an offering and we pass around these baskets and stuff, and we kind of do it and it takes on this aura that, you know, giving is just about money. But giving isn't just about money. When we have an offering in the church, we offer our very selves. We offer all our gifts, all our talents to God. And we say, "God, use me and use my life." We make a spiritual offering as well as a physical offering, you see. We invest in God's eternal purposes. God tells us to test him when it comes to this. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, "Bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple, so that there will be plenty of food there. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the window of heaven and pour out on you an abundance of all kinds of good things." Back in the day, people used to bring their offering, which was usually food, to the temple where they worshiped. God is saying to those people and to us, go ahead and test me. Put me to the test. Give me an offering, whatever form that might take. Make an eternal investment, and you will see that you will be blessed. God is so serious about this, he says, test me. God blesses and multiplies when we share our assets for the benefit of others. Give your first fruits to him. After you give your first fruits to him, and then after you pay your bills, then you want to invest and participate in the market. Now, here we go. I know there's going to be someone that sends me an email that says, "You've been talking about too much of a worldly thing about the market, about investing. You're not supposed to talk about the market in church, but remember, our faith informs every aspect of our life, even when it comes to the market. Because we invest in the market for the sake of a heavenly purpose, you see. This woman from the story got into the oil futures business. She invested her little bit of oil, and she began producing so that she could have a livelihood. Now, there's some practical steps that I want to give you where you can maximize your investment, thereby creating more than you can consume, and you will do so for the benefit of others. This is free. They will charge you $50 an hour in downtown Fredericksburg for this information. First, eliminate your high interest debt. Because when you do that, you will automatically find a 15 to 20% return on investment. Because that's what most of us pay on our credit cards, those high interest debts. That's the average interest rate. Second, create an emergency fund and put it aside. So when the turmoil hits, when the earthquake happens, like on the movie, that you have something you can go back to. Third, save money for a major purchase. Put that money in a certificate of deposit or a money market account that has a good yield. Lastly, diversify to meet your financial goals. Put your assets that God has blessed you with, not just in one thing, but put it in stocks and bonds and CDs and money markets and all kinds of different things. Why? Not for the purpose that you can have a bunch of wealth and store up treasures on earth, but so that you can invest that which you have produced for a higher purpose. That's the law of creation, that we were wired to make more, to create more, to produce more than we can consume. And you know, that's not just true about money, but it's true about a lot of things in life. We are called to produce more than we can consume. Whether that means life in the church, life in marriage, life at work, we're called to produce more than we can consume. When you practice the law of faith, the law of creation when it comes to money matters, then what you find is that you turn into a kingdom investor and not a cultural consumer. You'll find that you know financial freedom. Not that you'll be rich, but that you'll know financial freedom. That's the promise. May we trust God for all that we need. And may we be about creating more than we're consuming.